What's up, bro?
Well, here we go. Well, I want to say thank you for being here with me. You can hear me as Vendor. This is a new experimental recording of the Jargon Opera. I have an honored guest, my good friend, Mr. Eddie. Mr. Eddie Raw, how are you tonight, sir?
Doing well.
I would like to pretend I'm balanced. I've had a lot of ups and downs today, so I guess I'm somewhere in between the two. How have you been, my friend?
Good, just busy, you know.
Yeah, I've been spinning my wheels for sure, but not getting where I want to get. So we talked a little bit about what we would like to talk about, and we pretty much came to the consensus that we didn't know what to talk about. So I felt like we should just, you know, shoot the air for a little while. I'm here in Central California. You're down there in Southern California.
Right.
I know a subject I like to talk about. I just saw that President Biden had posted a tweet stating that if you don't want to wear a mask, get vaccinated. And so that's interesting. So it's basically
vaccinated you anyways, because you can still get it. You can still spread it. So,
well, then that's the obvious question is why get the shot, you know?
Sure.
They're going to have to hold me down to make that happen. But what scares me is,
do that.
They might just fucking do that. Right. Texas and Florida are looking better and better by the day, but
so is Canada.
No, I don't know about Canada. They are pretty draconian right now.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole famous preacher who, like, got internet famous for yelling at all these police officers who are trying to come in on his Easter Sunday service, and he kicked them out, and they just arrested his ass like a couple days ago. It made a lot of news. Honestly, it feels like it may be better off in somewhere like Mexico. But, you know, but then there's the whole cartel issue, you know.
Sure.
But I don't know. It's interesting the times we're living in. And I feel like all of it is like this bad play, you know, where it's like that you could, like, bad actors in a script, following a script, right? And it would almost be for poor television if it wasn't for the fact that it's our reality. I don't know, man. It's interesting to see where we're at right now.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you see coming over the next, well, with your broad esoteric knowledge, do you have any predictions of where we could be between now and, say, 2030?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, a bit different than what it is right now, in my opinion. You know, I think it'll be a lot more stricter, you know, policy. They'll probably come out with the certification of vaccination identification or COVID. So, you know, you'll probably need one of those to be able to get into any kind of events, maybe go shopping, whatever.
Yeah. You know?
But I did find that that show I was watching recently, I caught part of with, what's his name? I think I sent you that video the other day. John Cusack.
Yeah.
Utopia.
Yeah, I watched that. I shared that, too.
Yeah.
It seems,
and you know, that was like shot in 2018 and 2019.
That's so crazy.
Well before it's popping off.
By the way, listener, what we're describing is a film called Utopia, and in the scene that I watched, it's a brief YouTube clip, but basically it shows a group of people confronting a gentleman whose character is played by John Cusack, who apparently is behind some sort of a virus and vaccine scenario, very comparable to what we have going on there. But in the scene, it comes out that the vaccine itself sterilizes the recipient. And, you know, when you learn about things like Bohemian Grove and their statement of maintaining population.
Well, that's not Bohemian Grove. That one's the Georgia Guidestones, and that's
Thank you. Oh, I'm mixing them up now. Yes. They all kind of blend together. Yes, Georgia Guidestones, where it states to keep humanity in perpetual balance with nature with a population of 500 million. And I believe that's something like eliminating over 90% of the current world population.
Well, a little bit less than that. But I mean, you know, depending on perspective, how you look at it, you know, that would change the world. You know, it would reduce the carbon footprint. And it would just make the world a better place if you got rid of the right people. You know, you can't do some, you know, Thanos type shit where you just wipe out half the population because, you know, you're taking out some brilliant minds right there, in my opinion.
For sure. And, you know, it almost, if I was to like spend 5 minutes trying to make such a plan, I imagine there would be a lot of bullet points very comparable to what we're experiencing. And sure. I just don't want to be one of the ones taken out, man. I want to be in the good club, but I don't think I'm there.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's funny how if you ask different people who should be able to stay, you know, if there was a scenario like that where, you know, 80% of the population had to be wiped out for one reason or another, whether it was food shortage, water, you know, just whatever the reason may be. Oh, hold on 1 second. Sorry. At my door, but I'm just going to go over into the other room because I'm not expecting company. I just lost my train of thought totally.
You were saying we were talking food shortages, water.
Yeah. So if you had to get rid of a good chunk of the population, you know, it'd be a better option to just get all the bad people on the planet, not just randomly, you know, selecting, I guess.
For sure. You know, talking out loud, I had remembered earlier in the week, I don't know if you had noticed the headlines in late 2019, but there was this whole like little blurb on the wire there of the, you know, mentioning how there was all this mass exodus of CEOs from companies. Do you remember that? Like all these major companies, their CEOs were resigning. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, in retrospect, yeah, you can Google it and it'll come up, but it was like hundreds of CEOs within like a month or two time frame all just resigned. So
interesting.
Yeah, in retrospect, that is very interesting now that because I was thinking about it, like, because I remember having posted on LinkedIn about it and no one like responded, which I found interesting because, you know, that's a professional issue, but whatever. I mean, it sucks though that we're in this position. And I would like to think that there is a plan, you know, and I've heard that if you want to know the truth in media, just take whatever you hear or are told to do and do the opposite.
Yeah, and, that's a good way to look at it.
You know, and you'll be okay. So. Right. But, you know, I can see this leading up into, I don't know, like, it's consolidating groups of people into smaller cities or into more cities and out of rural areas, which is why I want to move to a more rural area. I could see it. I heard an interview with a kind of, internet famous person. What's her name? Oh, it's slipping by. She has like Whitney Webb. She's always quoted on her tweets are always like shared. But apparently she had just left Chile because for whatever reason she had been living in Chile for some time. But apparently if you want to leave your home, you need papers for a 2-hour window to like go grocery shopping. And she was saying that one of her friends had actually witnessed someone being arrested at a bus stop because their papers were out of time. And in that specific country, the media has the entire nation believing that that's the way it is in the whole world, which is pretty wild to think, you know.
That's how some countries are, you know, like North Korea. You know, I saw a video one time, I don't know if it was real or not, but it had me rolling, where it was supposedly a video from North Korea showing America, and they were showing like homeless people, how you would see, you know, in Skid Row or something like that, but portraying the whole United States was in that condition. Well, and that everyone was on heroin, which a lot of people unfortunately are in the United States. But yeah, that's not the majority of people by far. You know, the majority of people that are here are not homeless. So, you know, countries are, they don't really have a lot of options to look elsewhere. Maybe they don't have internet. They can't afford it. It's blocked, whatever.
Well, so, homelessness is definitely a growing issue. And absolutely. I mean, they're not 100% wrong. They might exaggerate it, but I mean,
I would have thought this coronavirus would have wiped all of them out. I mean, they're not social distancing. They're not wearing masks. They're not washing their hands. They're living in, you know, poor conditions. They're sharing food, cigarettes, drugs with each other. Whatever. I'm surprised they're not having to pile them up in dump trucks or something like that. You know, like it really is baffling why they're not all getting sick and just dying in the streets.
Yeah, that's something there. That, like, the whole, like, graphs you see of, like, Texas after they opened the country up and, like, the cases dropped or the state up. And as opposed to, like, doing the opposite of everything that they're told, and things got better. And, yeah, man, it's really... I see it more as what's really frustrating to me is that it's like being in Germany 1939 and no one fucking sees it. It's like the Twilight Zone. And like, you know, just walking into a gas station to give them $20 to put gas in the car, like, you need a mask. Like, I had this one cashier, like, literally have me, I left $10 on the counter. Had to walk to my car, put the mask on, come back in, and then she took the $10 that had been sitting there the whole fucking time.
Bro, they're just following orders.
That's the thing.
But who else used to do that? Nazi Germany. That's right. They were just
following orders. Let me see your papers.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I heard one thing where it was saying that the Germans lost World War II, not the Nazis.
Well, I mean, that's all perspective as well, you know, because you can also figure that, you know, during the end of World War II, we had Operation Paperclip, which was, when we took all those Nazi scientists, you know, and they Nuremberg trials and became scientists either at NASA or mine sciences like MK Ultra and Artichoke and Monarch and all those operations and projects.
I just heard something today, I believe, where it was saying that there was only like actually like a total of 14 Nazis in the Nuremberg trial. Like, they make it seem like it was this huge, like, next kind of a thing, but it was like just the very tip top. And I imagine, or I believe some of those say, I haven't watched the Nuremberg trials. I wasn't there. I don't know. But sure. Like, that seems like a really small number considering the size and scope of the whole operation. But, you know, I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, like what we're going through right now could be seen as like a eugenics program, you know, sure. You know, when all of media, all the news and internet and all these different things are like, when you look at the pyramid of power controlled by like six corporations worldwide.
Sure. You know,
it's pretty easy to imagine a coordinated effort.
Right.
But what are you going to do, man? Well, like there's, we're the last house on the block. And we're
kind of funny how a lot of times too is, you know, speaking of that pyramid of power and everything, and a lot of times people try to portray like Freemasons, for example, as part of this, like, you know, evil group hell bent on taking over the world. And, you know, and I'm a non-Mason, I'm, you know, one of the profane, but, you know, it's funny because when I look at all that, you know, I think we talked about this before, it's funny, like, you know, gangs, for example. You know, I live in LA, so I've seen gangs from white, Hispanic, whatever. They have their little brothers, their little cousins. So you'll see, like, whether they're skinheads, Southsiders, Bloods, Crips, whatever, you know, 10 years old, 12 years old, being a part of that gang. But in Freemasonry, they make you wait till you're 18 to decide to join. In some states, I think it's even 21. So it's like they almost want you to be able to decide for yourself. You know, but
right, free will and accord.
And if I had a group and I had nefarious intentions trying to take over and ill will and everything like that, I'm not going to care. You don't want to let your little brother in and he's 14, 15 and wants to do bad shit. Sure. Why not? You know, they make you believe in a God. What? If I had an evil group, I would prefer you didn't believe in God because then you wouldn't have a conscience and worry about if I wanted you to do something bad.
That's a really interesting perspective. I never considered the whole age limit to Masonry and using that as a barometer of the nefariousness of it. You know? Right. So basically, a man has to have reached maturity
right.
to be a member versus being jumped in a developmental stage. That's sure. very interesting.
You can't even decide on your own accord, technically, at that point. So, you know, you can't decide old enough to smoke or not or vote or go into the military. So why should you be able to join a gang at 12 or 14 or whatever, you know? Well, so it's like so many different things, you know, point to, you know, Freemasonry not being an evil thing. And, you know, I've never met a Mason personally that's wanted to take over the world or anything else. So.
No, I don't see that either. I think that if anything, signs of the truly elite, you know, like I've got, like my cousin was married to her high school sweetheart and they kind of grew up together and everything. And they grew up in a small town and she was the smart liberal girl and he was the smart nerdy guy. You know, and they were like kind of a natural pair. And he grew up into being a professor at a Northwestern university. And he teaches like something to do with robotics or computer programming or whatever. But it turns out, you know, they divorced about 3 years ago after like 20 plus years of marriage. And the last time I saw him, like at a family reunion, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, first of all, my wife, who is super intuitive, too much so, but she said he's cheating on her and she could just smell it on him. And like, turned out he was fucking one of his students. But like, I was like trying to, because when I was younger and we were growing up, like when I was like 13 or anything, I thought Jim was a cool guy. But like, you know, visiting him as a father and an adult and everything, he was so patronizing. He was so full of himself. He had like the family got one of those above ground pools and we're all lounging by the pool on this deck that my uncle had made and everything. And this motherfucker got like an obnoxious wide brimmed hat. You know, like he was overseeing like the good shepherd. And that's like his attitude, you know? And like I was like talking to my aunt. I speak to her quite a bit. And I was like, you know, I bet Jim is got a boatload. I bet he's a Bitcoin millionaire and he doesn't tell anyone about it. I bet he didn't, because that's like right up his alley. He's been in technology his whole life and everything.
Sure.
And like, you know, because we have been discussing Bitcoin and all of that. And so she straight up asked him, like, if he was familiar with Bitcoin. And she forwarded me the text, like, I'm glad you asked. So you have any questions? I'd love to inform you on it. Blah, 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 blah. So thinking of him as like the archetype of what I imagine the elite are, that's, you know, they're patronizing. We're the little people.
Yeah, but it's also perspective too. You know, like a lot of people need to be led.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, I won't say that I haven't needed like guidance in life. I think we all do, but you know, you're mentioning gangs. A lot of the reason we're seeing the proliferation of gangs or whatnot has a lot to do with the coordinated effort of dissolving the family. Because I wouldn't imagine we would have half the gang problem we have now or have had over the last 30 years if there was more of a nuclear family, if that was more common than it is now. But I believe the vast majority of gangbangers come from a single parent household. And you could like tie that to the feminism movement of the 60s and 70s. You know, there's a lot of different factors, but they all seem to be a bit coordinated. And it's all just, you know, we're not seeing what the left hand is doing. And there's so much consumption of media that people, I mean, it's pretty easy to toe the line when it's told you exactly what to do and how to think. And my problem is I suffer from wrong think, you know, and yeah, man, my unemployment lapsed and I thought I had reapplied to renew it.
Probably not a good idea to do that.
Huh?
Probably not a good idea to do that. And you have to start all over again because that's what they did. I think just to mess with people, because then you could slow people's roll. So what they did was, you need to reapply. And they sent me one of those too. And then I didn't reapply. And then I waited just to be sure. And then the next time it came to certify, they had put money in the account and I was able to certify.
So I started the process and I texted you that image, but it's pretty freaky deaky and I'm not fucking with it anymore. But they've got this whole new program called ID.me, and it's like an independent agency that's associated with California UI, but they get all your motherfucking biometrics. They do like this super spooky like selfie, but they call it a video, and it's a full like, what do you call that? Like way the predator would see the world with the heat signature.
Yeah. Sure.
It's like the fucking Predator heat signature face scan. A little line goes down your face and it says, thank you. And like, I had been on the line with the representative. He's like, well, you can do it online or you have to mail it in. Son of a bitch. I wish I had mailed it in, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm in the system. Now they can scan my face anywhere they have that linked in.
Yeah, well, you're probably already in the system.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, saying, I guess you got a breathe air.
What's that?
I'm just saying, I better like be careful where I breathe air.
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Can you believe we've already hit 25 minutes?
Yeah.
It goes easily. I knew it would. I knew that my first guest, Mr. Eddie Raw, would be a natural. And listener, if this makes it to publishing, Eddie and I might try to work out doing something with some frequency to it. I wish that we had a mechanism for feedback. I know that we just kind of tickled around like all the various conspiracies, but I mean, it's healthy to talk about these things, to have some camaraderie and some like understanding with other human beings, because that's what we're suffering from more than anything. This whole lockdown has left people isolated and in their own thoughts. And that's a perfect way to control a whole billions and billions of people, is to, first of all, get you isolated, just like a single parent family, right? And then start feeding a single message over the controlled media, and you hear it. You know, what is the Nazi statement? You tell a big lie and say it over and over again, and people will consider it to be truth. Something along those lines.
Sure.
But, yeah, I hope that we can do this again sometime soon, Eddie.
Yeah, definitely.
I told you we could just spitball and it would go naturally.
Sure.
But, yeah, we'll talk more soon. And we've got a few minutes left on this recording. What's on your mind? Anything you'd like?
We could get to the whole requirements to join Freemasonry. Another thing, one of the requirements is that you're not a convicted felon.
Uh-huh.
Once again, if I had a group that was, you know, evil and wanted to do bad things, I would fucking want felons, because I know they've already done bad shit, and that's what I want them to do, because I have a bad group. You know, so when you keep felons out, it makes me think that you want something good, and that it's something positive, and that you don't have evil intentions.
Sure. Well, I do have a theory that I'm going to play the devil's advocate against Freemasonry here. And my personal belief that I've come up with in the last year or so is that a person or a group is only as good as they are bad. You can only be as happy as you have been sad. It's a scale, right? And so, like, I've grown to be very leery of people who are self-professed good. You know, like, what is it, 6,000 cases of Catholic priests doing just horrible things? 6,000.
Sure.
And these are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of their community, you know? So sure. That's one thing I've grown to notice is that, first of all, in my opinion, ain't no one good, you know, deep down sure. In your heart, there's, you know, one of the people I listen to says that we are both God and the devil. And it's up to us to decide which one we utilize. Sure. And both have their place, you know.
Sure.
And I see that, you know, because, like, I've done enough wicked things for a lifetime, and hopefully I still have some time left.
How long have you been a Mason for?
What's that?
How long have you been a Mason for?
Oh, well, it's out there now, huh? No.
Oh.
I was raised in 2009.
Okay, so quite a while.
Yeah, I've been quite a while, but I'm, you know, like we've discussed before, you are much more versed in Masonry than I am. And, you know, I can't really speak on it too much other than I will say that there's a lot that goes on when you're joining, and it's hard to comprehend everything that you take in, you know. So, but like as far as nefarious and all of that, I haven't seen it. What I've seen in my experience has been kind of like church, in the sense of people there are just nice to each other, you know. You know, and that's one of my favorite parts of it is the fellowship. And I haven't seen any wacky like effigies or sacrifices or anything like that. But, you know, it's something that when time allows and they start opening up, in fact, my lodge is starting to open up too. They're even talking about doing stuff outdoors, which is interesting. But I look forward to going back, but it's been pretty much on hold for the last year and a half. And that's been across the board in California, at least.
Right.
But I've said too much. They're listening in. let's see here. So anyway, today, this was a good conversation, Eddie. I think that I just like talking to you, brother. I really do.
Yeah, definitely. Same here.
And I think broke the seal. We actually did a recording, my friend.
We did it.
We did it. So on that note, if this makes it to publishing, which I think it will, because we didn't really have any like lulls or delays. It was a pretty fluid conversation.
Absolutely. And
yes. Yes. And I hope we can do this again soon. It wasn't that hard. Sure. So for final thoughts, take it, listener. We're in interesting times right now. Today is May 13th, 2021. Something I tell my 10-year-old daughter all the time is that something that they don't teach her in school is to use discernment. And that means thinking for yourself beyond what you are told. Like, here's a thought. I had an uncle before he passed on. He was one of my heroes. And he told me about how when he would wake up every day, he would read the entire newspaper, every little word. He would read the whole thing, you know, in the pre-internet days. And when he was on his way out from pancreatic cancer, he and my aunt went on a cruise, and they went all over the place. And he was really pleased that one of his friends he made on that cruise was a British fellow of the same age, who couldn't peg him. He couldn't be tied down to whether or not he was Republican or conservative or liberal, because he was so versed, he could argue both sides. And I find that as a personal challenge, to be able to be, to not be myopic, to be able to see both sides of an argument. And I think that that, at least from my perspective, is life mastery, being able to see the good and the evil of everything. Anyhow, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listener, Eddie?
No, that's pretty much it. Until next time.
Until next time, my friend. And we'll talk to you guys later. Thank you. Bye, Eddie.
See ya.